What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Josh Yonas, joined again by Associate Director of Communications, Eric Jones. Eric, how you doing?
Doing well. Happy to be home. And we had a great weekend of tennis last week and also baseball as well. So excited to talk some sports here.
Yeah, a lot going on this week. We'll do a short little recap of tennis, but just to give you guys a glimpse into our calendar, right, you know, the next couple weeks, we're wrapping up the Energy Transfer Women's Golf Championship in Frisco, Texas. That'll be finishing today, Wednesday, April 22nd. And then starting tomorrow, the 2026 CUSA Beach Volleyball Championship from Sugar Beach in Youngsville, Louisiana. And then the CUSA Men's Golf Championship begins next Monday. We'll dive into that a little bit more next week when they're kind of more underway from Texarkana Country Club. So again, a lot going on. We're really getting into the full swing of this spring crossover championship season. We've obviously still got baseball and softball going on. We've got most of our schools finishing up spring football. We'll get into a few notes from some of our teams, spring ball or spring seasons. And we have a very special interview with first-year head coach there at Missouri State, Casey Woods, who gives us a glimpse into his career, what's going on there in Springfield, coming off of their first look, and then just kind of what to expect from Bears football coming off a really great FBS debut season. So, all right, let's get into it. I did mention we were going to do a short little tennis recap. You were there for both championships in Murfreesboro. I'd asked y'all, you know, who are the ones to look out for. We hit on the Middle Tennessee men one. We kind of knew they were going to reign supreme once again. But a big surprise on the women's side, a team that we didn't talk about at all when we were discussing, you know, who some of the contenders to FIU were. We thought, you know, maybe top seeded La Tech. We thought Kennesaw State. We, you know, there are so many other teams in the mix. Liberty was not one of the ones.
Definitely not.
At that sixth seed. So just, kind of walk me through what some of the biggest surprises were there.
You mentioned Liberty too, even Delaware, who was in the final, also not really on our radar going into it. And tennis, like traditionally in our league, has always been dominated by, usually you see the 1-2 seed making it. This is actually the second time ever and first time since 98 that the 1 or 2 seed was not playing in the final.
Wow.
So really crazy stat there. But yeah, we had the 4 seed Delaware Blue Hens and the 6 seeded Liberty Flames in the final. Delaware knocking off 1 seed La Tech. Liberty, you know, defeating 3-time champ or 3-time defending champs, FIU, in the semifinals. So I know those days were electric. I was actually at the men's courts that day. Unfortunately, didn't get to see all the craziness going on campus. But super excited for their people at Liberty. They were so excited. You could tell coming to the week that was not really on their mind. So to see like their reactions to the win on Saturday was incredible. We were happy to get all those games into. The weather on Saturday was not working with us, but we got the games into. But extremely fun tournament on the women's side. Again, you don't see a whole lot of parity like that in tennis, especially Conference USA tennis at that. So really, really fun week on the women's side.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it looks like a fun week for you, too. You got to go to a Preds game. You got to go to a Middle Tennessee baseball game. I'm sure you got some good food there in Murfreesboro. Good trip overall.
Oh, yeah, good trip overall. Stayed busy, that's for sure. Got to go down to Nashville, get to check out a Predators game, and then walk down Broadway for a little bit until it started pouring on us. But had a good time, and I got to check out some Middle Tennessee baseball as well. They had Delaware in town. Got to see it. That was a crazy game. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but that was a crazy game Friday night on that end. But Middle Tennessee men's again, winning for the 7th straight year. It's a true dynasty going on the men's side of tennis. Jimmy Borendame has those guys clicking year in, year out. Andre Horak and Kareem Al-Amin. I believe I'm pronouncing it right.
You got me sold. Yeah.
Two guys that I want to give a shout out to just because they're both seniors. They've been super loyal to the program in a day and age where you're seeing guys transfer after a year or two. And those guys can easily play, you know, amongst the best in the nation. Two guys that are, you could tell, very loyal and love the coaching staff there, love Middle Tennessee and the program. So super happy for those guys. and excited to see, you know, where they end up in NCAA tournament time. And we got a week to kind of rest up, and we'll find out next Monday.
Yeah, and I know just with how Jimmy likes to schedule, they've been very battle-tested. They consistently play a lot of ACC, SEC competition. Oh, yeah. So I'm sure, yeah, they'll be ready to try and make some noise with whoever they draw in the NCAA tournament. Saw you got an awesome promo item from the Preds game too. That's Smashville. Yes,
yeah. Should have brought it in.
Hat. I know. Yeah.
Should have brought
great,
it in.
Great podcast prop. But perfect segue into what I want to talk about in softball. I think really the second Smashville is Jacksonville, Alabama, where the Gamecocks went on the road, swept Missouri State, set the USA record for scoring in a conference game, beat them 25-2 on Saturday behind a 2-homer, 8 RBI game for our player of the week, Mikaelin Kaiser. She is just on fire lately. They're just swinging the bat really well, but her specifically hitting .563, 4 homers, 18 RBIs during their 6-game win streak with back-to-back 3-for-3 games. So Jack State obviously still in the driver's seat on the softball side. Their magic number down to 2 games to clinch that regular season title.
Wow.
And that coveted number one seed in the conference tournament. We've got 6 teams in already for the 2026 USA Softball Championship. So Jack State, WKU, Liberty, the host Delaware, San Houston, and New Mexico State all punched their tickets to Newark, Delaware for that one. Got 2 spots still up for grabs. Could potentially know those teams even as early as this weekend.
Wow.
So we're in a really good spot as we kind of get down to the stretch here. But yeah, again, Jacksonville State looking to wrap up their first CUSA regular season title this weekend, which would be great for Julie Boland and that team. Just a couple other teams doing some great things on the softball side. Liberty picked up a road series win at FIU. That was my series to watch last weekend. They're 10-2 on the road in league play. I talk a lot in my week release how well a lot of our top teams are doing at home. You look at a WKU who's 12-0 at home, a lot of other teams that are above that 750 mark on their home fields, but at Liberty doing it on the road, which I think is big when you look ahead to a conference tournament when you're on, it's still a road environment. That they're having that amount of success sure. away from home. And then Delaware, our tournament hosts, extended their winning streak to 10 games with a sweep of Kennesaw State. So obviously playing some really great softball there in Newark, looking to keep that going. Sydney Schaefer gave us a great insight into what's been going well with that program, how much she's looking forward to playing in front of home crowd for our softball championship. I got to imagine the Blue Hens fans are feeling pretty electric right now, knowing that they have one of the hottest teams in CUSA and they're about to host a CUSA tournament. So, and then one thing I do have to mention while we're talking softball, Faith Aragon, our CUSA pitcher of the week from this past week, nearly untouchable in 2 shutout victories against Middle Tennessee, 21 strikeouts in 14 innings pitched. Listen to this, and you're a former pitcher, you'll appreciate this. Last 4 starts, 4-0, 0.25 ERA, 3 shutouts, 41 strikeouts, 5 walks in 28 innings. So, and on top of that, she, on the year hitting .386, 20 extra base hits, 26 RBIs, 40 runs, 18-7 with a 2.34 ERA in the circle. She's on the verge. She only needs 3 more strikeouts to become the first CUSA pitcher since 2022 to reach 200 strikeouts in a season. So if that ain't player of the year material, I don't know what is. I'm not one of the ones that, we like to remind everyone. We don't pick the awards or all conference teams or anything, but if I were a voter, I'd certainly be eyeing her for softball.
It was a softball show right here.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah,
definitely. But so that's what's going on in softball. Let's get to baseball. I know we still got our big three there at the top.
Oh, yeah.
They are still doing well, holding down the league strong. I've started to see a lot more postseason, the field of 64 predictions that Baseball America had 3 CUSA teams all at the number 2 line. Which would obviously be really incredible for us, but what's going on the baseball side?
Yeah. You look at those 3 teams, really fun last week. Got to put out that graphic, 3 teams in the top 30 in RPI and still in the top 30 in RPI, even after the weekend, series. But those other 4 leagues that are, it's the Power Fours and us. So super, super fun baseball league this year at the top. Jacksonville State, we'll start with them, had a big sweep over FIU. They knew that's what they needed to do this weekend to stay in contention at that at large. They're still at 30 in the RPI. I want to talk about their starting pitching. Eli Pillsbury, Friday night, bounce back week for him. Incredible. He went 8 innings. He was co-pitcher of the week. 6 strikeouts, no earned. Lights out on Friday night. And that's what you want. You want to set the tone on the weekend, especially against a team like FIU, which they know they want to go in and beat down. And you know, then you get a start from Bo Bryans. He went 6 innings, gave up an earned run, 8 strikeouts on Saturday. And then Steven Cash closed out the weekend with another 6 innings pitched, an earned run, and 13 strikeouts on Sunday. But just a dominant performance from them over the weekend against FIU. Again, it's just a series that, you know, a lot of the times you're looking just to go win a series. But when you're at home, I guess a team that's been struggling this year, you want to go in and sweep them. But this week, you know, I know it's coming out Wednesday, but we're filming this Tuesday. They will play Troy, a big RPI game for them. Play Troy Tuesday night, and then they'll have a home series this weekend against New Mexico State, a New Mexico State team that got swept at home this past weekend. So I know Jack State will want to keep that momentum riding, and New Mexico State's going to be hungry. They're at the bottom trying to fight their way into the conference tournament. But moving on to Liberty, in the series of the weekend, Liberty going down to Dallas to take on DBU. What a series it was. Unfortunately, I didn't get to check out a whole lot of it being up at tennis, but seeing how that series closed out on Sunday, I think Liberty was down 7-2. They're in the middle innings, put up a big crooked number there, ended up winning 9-8. Tyler August was absolutely dialed in on the mound, got the win. I think he threw the final 3 innings of that game. It was unbelievable. And just kind of helping them get back in it. And they just had a lot of things go their way. But when you're a good team and, you know, you're playing good baseball, a lot of times you just need things to go your way. And that's what was happening for Liberty. I think it was a big win for DBU, though, in the middle. You know, that game, that series could have gone to Liberty all 3 games. So that was a big win for DBU in the middle there. I know they wanted to win that series. But a really, really impressive weekend from Liberty. They knew that they needed to go in if they wanted to, you know, start climbing up these rankings to go win that series. And that was big for them. They're at 23 in the RPI right now. Not to mention Nick Barone against Duke last Tuesday night had 3 home runs and a 17-7 run rule win for them. So shout out the 3 homer game right there from Barone. But this week they have Duke at home. Top 25, I think they're around 24, Virginia in Charlottesville on Wednesday, and then they'll have Delaware at home this weekend. So
really big chance at a big week for them.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, no doubt. Obviously, they'd want to go 5-0, get a win against Duke again, and then get to go on the road and have another big RPI game with Virginia. So big week for them. Missouri State, they kept their winning ways going at home. They started off 17-0 at home, and that was after Saturday's crazy walk-off win. They're down 6-4 in the ninth, had I think a 2-run single to tie in the bottom half, and then the 2-run shot by Logan Fife to walk it off on Saturday. To go up to 17-0 at home this season is incredible. End up dropping the game on Sunday to WKU, but a series win. This team is so good at the plate, and offensively they're such a juggernaut. Really excited to see how their week turns out this week. They go on the road to Arkansas Tuesday night. So top 25 opponent, SEC opponent, someone who they beat a few weeks ago at home. And then they will get to go up against arguably one of the hotter teams in the league right now at Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech's won 7, they're 7-2 in their last 3 conference series. And Louisiana Tech's 11-7 right now, kind of quietly in that fifth spot. And they have Missouri State, DBU, and Jacksonville State the next 3 weekends. So they got a true gauntlet right now, and I believe I saw Lane Burroughs mention, he's like, you go win some games here, and your RPI could be sizzling here. Mm-hmm. So they got a lot to play for right now. The Bulldogs down there, they had a big series win at Kennesaw State. And just to highlight a few things, DBU, Shaden Krause over the weekend, I mean, he was our hitter of the week. He had 4 home runs in 4 games. Won in every single game. He is the fourth DB player all time to reach the 200 hit and 40 home run career mark.
Wow.
So impressive stuff. We all know the tradition rich history that DBU has on their baseball side of things, but really impressive numbers from Krause this weekend. And I want to give one more last shout out to Middle Tennessee pitching over the weekend. Had a really, really strong effort from, you know, Gavin King was electric. He was one of the pitchers that was really fun to watch over the weekend. He got a save in all three conference games and got a win in their midweek game, but he was touching almost triple digits out there. He was 97 to 99, electric stuff. He had a real shot of winning pitcher of the week. It was a tough decision, but yeah, Middle Tennessee pitching looked really good. And the game I got to go to Friday night, I actually didn't get to stay till the very end. It was 8-1 when I left, and final score was 8-7. Delaware put up a six spot in the top half of the ninth to make it a real ball game. They took the go-ahead run to the plate, and Middle Tennessee closed it out, got the sweep. They're 8-10 right now in league play, so I think we have a four-way tie at 7-11. Got some things to shake out here, but we got four weekends left, and we'll start seeing some teams probably clinch here pretty soon.
Nice. All right. Well, it's getting down to the wire. It's crazy. I'm really excited for, I think both these baseball and softball championships are shaping up to be really exciting between some of the, you know, kind of top heavy on both sides, really.
Yeah.
But certainly with baseball, you know, as we were trying to get as many teams as possible into the NCAA tournament. But I know it's April 22nd, we're right in the middle of baseball and almost toward the end of baseball and softball season. But we're still going to talk a little bit of football, because why not? We got Casey Woods on to give us a little more insight into Missouri State. But again, as most of our teams have kind of put spring football in the rearview mirror in the last couple weeks, just want to give a little shout out to our football as we get ready to prepare for this upcoming season. Was looking through some stuff and went back to the ESPN returning production numbers. I know that gave us some big figures last year that kind of put us in a good spot this year, again, towards the top, second among G6 conferences in returning production, returning about half of our, you know, production across the board. Three teams in the top 50 were led by Delaware at number 25, returning 62% from a team that, again, had also had a very impressive FBS debut season, went 7-6, won the 68 Ventures Bowl. Jack State up there, number 47, returning 50, both them and Liberty returning around 57% of their production. Jack State coming off of another 9-win season, won the Salute to Veterans Bowl. Liberty, you know, still coming off a couple down years, but, you know, Jamie Chadwell feels pretty confident that he's going to get them back on track this year. And just kind of looking across the board, you know, at some of the, you know, as I'm going through some spring ball notes to, really wrap my head around, you know, what we should expect to see next year. I think the big story with Delaware, again, on top of a lot of the returning production is, I think the biggest storyline is going to be Nick Minicucci. Because, an outstanding season last year, second team all CUSA quarterback. I think we should expect to see him on the first team if all goes well. A lot of other key contributors, you know, as they kind of look to make, I think they have the framework to make a very similar rise to Jacksonville State, coming in to the FBS ranks, winning games year after year, making it into these bowl games, competing for CUSA championships. So like what's going on in Newark, Delaware, on the football side as well. FIU kind of looking at some of their stuff. They had some really great moments from what should be another talented running back room for the Panthers. Sterling Joseph, Devontae Lyons had some scoring plays in the spring game. JJ Cole is going to be the big storyline there in Miami at that quarterback position, obviously with Kewon Jenkins leaving the program. A big hole there. Under center, he comes in from App State with a lot of great experience. So a much different profile of quarterback. So we're interested to see how that kind of shapes up in summer camp. Jack State, Gamecocks they returned 8 players who got postseason awards last year. So and a lot of those guys, you look at the Caleb Nixes of the world, DeAndre Johnson, Caden Creel, those guys were really busy in the spring game, making a lot of big plays. Kennesaw State, you know, our defending champs, they're got a lot of new faces on the roster. Jerry Mack's got some work to do to kind of, you know, get some big shoes filled. I think he kind of felt like they, you know, laid the foundation in spring camp, and then, you know, when you look ahead to summer ball, they'll really start to push forward. Liberty, I kind of mentioned, they got a lot of new faces on the roster and on the coaching staff. You know, Jamie's pretty confident that they got a nice fresh feel there to get him back on track. WKU, another team that we should expect to kind of see towards the top of the conference. Rodney Tisdale Jr., our defending freshman of the year, returning to the program. He ripped a couple long passes in their spring game to kind of help lead a hot start for the offense. So there's a lot of excitement going into next year. You know, I think we were very fortunate. Obviously, only one new coach in the league with Casey Woods, who we get a chance to talk to, who brings a lot of great experience, you know, coming in after being the OC at SMU. A lot of other stops in his career at SEC schools, and just, yeah, a lot of really great resume. He dives into a lot of that in our interview. So, yeah, I mean, he's never too soon to talk football,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm already ready for it.
But, all right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you on the other side of a great interview with Missouri State football coach Casey Woods. Welcome back, CUSA Insider fans, to our interview segment. Today, we are joined by a very special guest, Missouri State head football coach Casey Woods, joining us from Springfield, Missouri. Coach Woods, how are you doing this morning?
Man, doing great. Thank you so much for having me on this morning, and look forward to visiting with you for a few minutes.
All right, so let's get right into it. You just wrapped up your first spring at Missouri State with your first look event this past weekend. What stood out to you most from seeing your team in that setting?
It was an exciting spring. I thought we did a great job. You know, you have to build a team. Culture matters now more than it ever has. And credit to these guys here, credit to Coach Petrino and Coach Beard. They built a foundation that we can lift off of, you know, and I think that our players came in here. Our staff did a great job retaining a bunch of guys that came from a winning team. And we added, obviously, some new transfers like everybody does. And we were able to do that. So we've got a little bit of an older team. I don't think there's any glaring holes. I mean, obviously from a depth standpoint, everybody's battling that a little bit this time of year. But I was overall pleased. I thought that they really tried to do what we asked them to do. They have won here before, but everything that they did was much different stylistically. And so for our team to come in, buy into what it is that we're asking them to do, and just, you know, in every phase of how we do it, was really encouraging.
What did you want fans to take away from just the identity, the energy of this team, and what you're bringing into this program?
Well, I hope that they see the vision. I hope that they see that we are headed for a championship eventually, you know, obviously, hopefully sooner than later, but that's the kind of culture that we're going to build here. Whereas we've got to, there's no other way other than to set your goal at the highest, and we got big dreams here. And we are certainly going to do that. So I hope as they came out there, they had a chance to observe practice, that they did see that it was, I'm a practice junkie, you know, so it's a little bit of, I want anyone that comes and watches to say, man, that's the best college football practice I've ever seen. And I thought it was high energy and it was organized and it was efficient. With the style that we play, we don't spend a ton of time on the practice field, but the time that we're there, is super efficient, high energy usage of what it is that we're doing. And I hope they were able to see that.
From day one of spring ball to wrapping it up last week, where do you think the biggest area of growth was for your program?
Well, it's outside of just the operational point that I was kind of talking about earlier, right? There's some element of just like, hey, this is where we stand during practice, and this is what our warm-up looks like, and this is how we finish and do, you know, aside from just the growth of that, right, and making sure that we're there, I do think that we improved along both the offensive and the defensive line, and that is something that they were they had some ability there last year. They had some players that contributed to what it was that they were doing to ultimately win the games that they won, and we had to replace a bunch of that, be it either graduation, some transferred out. There was just, that was kind of the biggest rebuild that we had to do. We still got some reinforcements coming this summer, but by and large, we had the majority of our team here this spring. And so to watch that development on both the offensive and defensive line, was important about where we ultimately want to go.
For you personally, beyond the obvious, you know, this being your first opportunity as a head football coach, what else really interested you and drew you to Missouri State and this program?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I don't, I really knew very little about this program. And as it's funny how God works things out, right? So we played here at SMU last year and just kind of a scheduling quirk. I knew very little about this place and I'm an SEC guy, so a little bit of a crowd snob anyway, right? We walked off that bus on Grand Avenue and the student body was rocking and the fraternities and sororities were going and the band was going and the tailgating scene. I mean, it was like a fun, my wife was here with me. It was a fun college football environment. And so that was kind of my first impression. And so, you know, as the coaching cycle came along, and you know, Patrick Ransdale reached out to me, our athletics director. I was excited to take his call. I do think that there's never been a better time to be a part of this football program than right now. And I think that we've got alignment better, as good as or better than any place that I've ever been, from our president through our AD, down through me, through the vision that we have. I think that we've had recent success here. You know, as I mentioned earlier about what Coach Petrino and Coach Beard were able to do here. And then I think we've got great vision. And I think when you line those three things up, man, you've got a chance to get some momentum. We have that. We have resources in this community that are eager to see a winner. They've invested in other sports here before, not ever really consistently in football. So to kind of be on the front end of that, we are renovating a new football facility in our original basketball arena there in the north end zone of our stadium, which is going to be spectacular. It'll be very unique, unlike any football facility I've ever seen or been a part of. So that'll be really, really cool touch for this community. And, you know, I really like our recruiting footprint. I think as you drive that circle, that 3 hours to St. Louis, 2 to Kansas City, 2:15 to Tulsa, 3 hours to Little Rock, you're really not encountering anybody, any other schools our size. And so I think that is a really, really unique recruiting footprint that's got really good football players. Football's important to these people, particularly in Southwest Missouri. And so we're excited to get in here and recruit this place better than it's ever been recruited before. And I think that we can do that. I think that we've already started to do that. And so, you know, we've got a unique opportunity to do it better than it's ever been done before here. It's an exciting time to be here. And that's ultimately, I know that's a big long-winded answer, but man, that was all of it's what drew me to this job. And Springfield has answered in a big way. This university's answered in a big way. Our student body has stepped up and done what we've at, you know, has really helped us out. And I think that I think the vision that our president and AD have is really going to give us an opportunity to take this thing to the next level.
Yeah, I can attest to it being a very special place. Got to go there on a chilly Wednesday night during weekday CUSA last year, and even then the crowd was rocking. So, they are dedicated to the Bears, and I'm sure they're very excited to see what you're able to do there. You've had success at a lot of stops in your career, but again, going back to it, first time as a head coach, what have been some of the biggest adjustments? I know you mentioned the kind of operational stuff, but what are some of the other things that you're encountering through this first go-round?
Yeah, you know, I've answered this. It's been funny. I don't think I've come in here and worked any harder than I have at any other first job that I've taken, right? You kind of just jump 2 feet in, man. You're separated from your family for a little bit of time and you just work, man. You just get to it. Now, I do think the breadth of which all the responsibilities that you take on as a head coach, I don't know that anything, you know, you've always heard first-time head coaches say, man, nothing can prepare you for being a first-time head coach. And I think that was probably the biggest adjustment, right? There wasn't a level. I didn't have to work harder necessarily. I already knew that, right? As you change jobs throughout the course of your career, you understand that. You build that skill. But now all of a sudden, the range of problems that you have, right? When I was an assistant coach, my assistant coach problems were my problems, right? When I was a coordinator, all right, well, my coordinator problems and the guys that kind of work, you know, underneath me are those problems. Well, when you're a head coach, everybody's problems in the buildings are your problems. And so being able to adjust and transition to having to delegate what you can delegate, having to differentiate between what needs a decision right now and what can wait till later. I think those have been probably some of the biggest adjustments. I'm having a ton of fun. I tell my wife all the time, I'm super appreciative of her for letting me do this, because there is a platform here to have an impact. Certainly this is a unique place where we can jump in and do it better than it's ever been done before, like I said. But I think that was probably the biggest, you know, adjustments is just recognizing that the entirety of the organization kind of flows through you, which you know that that's what it's going to be, right? That's what you're signing up to do. But then to experience on a day-to-day basis, the 15 text messages that I wake up with, they're just such a wide range of things that you're processing and distributing out. It's not just like organizing practice anymore. It's that and everything else that you got going on. So it's fun. It's been a great learning curve, and I got a lot of people here helping me. It's been great. You know, I got to hire my dad. It's probably like the coolest thing that I've gotten to do in my entire career. Not just because he's my dad, but because, you know, there's no question who the best football coach in the building is and who's got the best resume. So having him to help me navigate through some of these, you know, just prioritization of everything more than anything has been a real blessing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, what an incredible opportunity. It sounds already like you're, you know, quite the family man. What kind of things he helping out with you? And what's that like just having him right there alongside you?
Yeah, well, he's helping out with everything. I gave him a chief of staff title, and which means it's like, all right, I don't want to deal with this. Can you? But he's been a great, you know, this will be his 50th year coaching coming up this fall camp. And so, what a resource to have for our young coaches. We hired a good, young, energetic, relationship building staff that needs development of their own. And he's a guy that can come in and really pour into them. Obviously, when he stands up in front of our team and speaks, there's instant recognition of his authority and what it is that he understands, you know, and what it is he's been through. Obviously, he's been a great sounding board for me, and you know, he's got a great humble spirit that comes in here, and he's not looking for credit, and he's not looking for he wants all the responsibility I'll give him, and he'll be the sounding board for whatever else I need. And that's he was the toughest. He was in the toughest contract negotiation I had to go through because his agent's my mom. And so that was a lot more just like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But I dangled those 5 grandkids out in front of them, and we got the deal done. So it was a lot of fun. It's cool to, we've never been in the same town. So at least not since I went to college. So them having a chance, like my daughter plays softball this afternoon, and he and my mom are going to come to that. You know, that's something cool that they've not ever gotten to experience. And so that part of it's a lot of fun. And then he can step in there and stand in front of our team and talk about what we need to get executed from a team standpoint. And like I said, he pours into these young coaches and the staff around here. And that's what he's done a great job, is he's helped me build relationships with all our cooperatives. As like the entirety of this head coaching job, he can do a lot to make sure that, hey, what can I take off of your plate? How can I help you with these problems? And hey, these are the 5 things that we need to get answered this week, in order to help me line up and make the decisions that we need to continue to move us forward the way we need to.
That's incredible. That's, yeah, really, truly special. So going back to when you took this job, you mentioned momentum, alignment, you know, were some of the things you alluded to. Where have you seen that already show up in your team this spring?
Yeah, well, I mean, the 2 biggest things that we had to get on track here in order to bring our player life up to Division I standard is, one, we had to have a facility. Right now we're disjointed, and it's not bad. It's just not what it needs to be. And 2 is making sure that our nutrition program is up to speed again, to be competitive all the time. And so, you know, from the top down, that's our president, that's our AD, that's all the investors in this program. The board of governors approved, the first phases of our new facility earlier this spring. I've got our 4th meeting with the architects tomorrow afternoon. So like, we are full speed ahead on that, which is awesome. And so that's not just talk that it was for 10 years, you know, or it was, it's actual real movement on that. And that's, you know, what we need to do from that standpoint. From a nutrition standpoint, I had 4 major hurdles when I got here. And some of that's just coming together, and it's, you know, this is only going to be their second year as a Division I football program. And so making sure that the university is in alignment with the president's vision and ultimately with Mr. Ransdell's vision and then mine, you know, to make sure that we can produce championship worthy teams. And so we've gotten over three of those four hurdles. I think that we're really, we feel really good about that fourth one. And so I think that's just a reflection of where we're headed, is everyone has stepped up. You know, I visited 22 fraternity and sororities so far this spring to just talk about the dynamics and importance of what our game day student body needs to look like and how it needs to operate and help us out. And I want to make sure that we continue to build the relationships that are necessary to get everybody pulling the same direction, right? This is Springfield's team. We've got a great town here that when I moved here, I thought it was like 150,000 people. It's actually getting close to passing 500,000. So we've got a remarkable community here that nobody knows, right? Feels like a little town, which it does still feel that way, but it's the town itself has got momentum, and it is obviously, there is no Missouri State without Springfield. Springfield feeds off of what Missouri State can produce. We've got 27,000 students. Dr. Williams has got visions of getting us up over 30,000. I think certainly the football team can be a front porch to that. It can be a connective tissue to that. We can be the front end tip of the spear in advertising for that to make sure that everybody in this state recognizes this is a viable institution for them to come and, one, have a great college experience, right? Have a great football experience. You can still get a world-class education in a town that it's never been a better time to be a Missouri State Bear. It's never been a better time to be a resident of Springfield. And so we kind of got a chance to hit that at the same time. That's very rare. And I've been a part of that at a couple times, you know, during my coaching career. We were able to hit that at UAB in our own way. We were able to hit that at the University of Missouri. Certainly we're able to do it at SMU. I know your alma mater. You know, we inherited a 7-win American team and went in and won 39 games, 2 conference championships and a college football playoff appearance in 4 years, you know. So you can be kind of at the front end of something where you can build momentum, and there's a lot of that going on here right now. And obviously we know we got to play good football, and we got to get our guys prepared. We felt like we had a great spring to get us in, you know, pushed in that direction. The momentum's good and the energy's good. Everybody's paying attention. So we've just got to make sure that we continue to push the boundaries of this thing to push it as absolutely as far as we can.
You're going to have all 500,000 of them ready to run through a wall with seeing all that. Well. But you just mentioned it. You know, you've built your reputation as an offensive mind. I got a firsthand account of it at SMU, getting to see some really, really fun offenses. What kind, you know, what parts of that identity are you really trying to implement there at Missouri State? And what do you want that offense to look like? Obviously, without giving away too much, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to be what we have been, right? And there's, so certainly what we were able to create at SMU was outstanding. And Coach Lashley and I were raised, you know, at the same time by Coach Malzahn. Obviously, we kind of split apart there for a while, came back, and we were able to play really good offense the last 4 years. There will be lots of – the spirit of the offense will be the same, right? We brought in Mark Kalla. Mark's a guy that's got experience in up-tempo offenses, and he's got experience coaching quarterbacks, and he's got experience running rooms. And so – it's been fun to piece that together. This spring, I certainly have an opportunity to be involved in that as much as I can. Mark's going to do a great, you know, great job as he continues to develop in his career. And so that's been a lot of fun. And so I do think, the spirit of the offense is still going to be the same, right? It's going to be up-tempo. It's going to be fun. It's going to be limited concepts out of multiple presentations at tempo. And we're going to be an aggressive downhill run team. You know, we want to make sure that we have a physical football team. And I think we were able to accomplish that this spring. I think we're physical. I think we have a tough football team. We had 87 guys out here. Probably 81 of them went through spring practice. And so in order to be able to get to evaluate all those guys, I don't think there's a player on our team that can't say that he didn't get a shot to prove to us what he's got. And so now we can really get into the stages moving into recruiting, obviously, this spring, but then our summer phase on into fall camp, we can really start to hone in on schematically what we want everything to look at. That's the beauty of, ultimately, that's the beauty of what we've been able to do offensively over the course of the last 10 years, really even longer than that, dating back to Coach Malzahn, is that we can adjust to the talent of our personnel. And so, you know, we know the strengths that we have on offense right now. We got to make sure that we get those guys the best opportunity to touch the ball and do that in space, and give the quarterback the best opportunity to efficiently lead this offense. And so, you know, as sitting in the head coach's chair, I know just as important, just how important what Jack Curtis and those guys are going to do on defense for us. This was a team that finished in the top five in the conference in total defense last year. Ryan did a great job with them. Schematically, it's going to be different, but it's but we got some winners back from that defense. We got some guys that know how to play good defense back. We're going to try to take it to the next level. And then our kicking game, you know, we've really put a lot on Coach Woods and then Blake Schrader to help lead those units. And we got to make sure that we can produce a winner in that. So I thought we made some strides, like I said, again, this spring. We've got good specialists on our team. We got to work well around them. And if we can do that, then we got to saddle up fun September before we slide into conference play and get some of that midweek stuff going. And we want to be competitive in November. That's a big goal of ours, to make sure that we hit November running. We've got a unique weather situation up here that nobody else gets to battle. And so we want to use that as a strength when we get to November. Thought we were able to get some of that stuff in the way. We've had a relatively mild spring, but we had a little cold snap on Saturday, and we talked about, man, championships are won in the cold. So we want to make sure that we continue to emphasize the things that we can control and get our team poised to be competitive in November.
You walked through a few of your career stops, lots of big time schools, big time conferences. You've kind of seen it all. How have those different experiences shaped you for this moment?
Oh man, every one of them has, right? And every head coach that I've worked for. So I thought this was a really cool stat that I had never done, right? Every single head coach that I've worked for has won a championship. And I've been very, very blessed in my career. This will be my 19th season coaching. I've coached in 9 championship games. I've won 6 of them. So I've won Conference USA. I've won the Sun Belt. I've won the American. I've won the SEC twice. I've lost the ACC. I've won a national championship, and I've lost a national championship. And that's less to do with me, but more to do, like, I do know what winning looks like. I do know what championship development looks like. I know what championship football looks like. So we're going to do the things that champions do before we become champions. And the other part of that is every one of those teams that I was on were surrounded by great people. And I think we've got an outstanding staff here that's hit the ground running. I think that we got good young energy coaches that are recruiting hard, that have bought into our vision, that are selling it to our players. To our players' credit, they've let us come in and shape it how we want to, and they've bought into that. And so I think each step along the way, to your point, has really pointed to this moment, right, has given us an opportunity. Boy, you can take something from each one of them all the way back to Coach Fulmer, my first year in coaching, to Gene Chizik, to Gus Malzahn, to Bill Clark. Even guys, you know, it's the 2010 national championship team at Auburn. There were 3 offensive entry-level GAs, right? It was me, it was Eli Drinkwitz, and it was Rhett Lashley. And so those were guys. I'm just glad I was nice to them back then, because both of them gave me jobs. And it was fun to watch them both in their first-time roles get into positions where they could win championships. And certainly Eli's taken Missouri to a level it hadn't been at probably ever. Rhett the same way. And so, you know, I was able to learn just as much from them. Even though we all started off together in kind of the same spirit of what we did with Coach Malzahn, to watch them grow and develop and to be a part of that as we were with them. Man, what an exciting time, and what a testament to all those guys that have had a chance to pour into me. I've been incredibly blessed in my career, and certainly hope to continue to build off the momentum that we've learned along the way.
Man, that just makes me think about, you know, you always see the team pictures where they're highlighting all the, you know, current NFL coaches that all used to be on one staff. I mean, that's a heck of a trio right there between you, Eli, and Rhett.
Yeah, there's some good pictures floating around. We've got one from the national championship game, and then our first staff, you know, Coach Malzahn, right after the national championship or after the 11 season, got the Arkansas State job. and we were all first. That was all of our first full-time jobs, right? So it was me, Lyon, Rhett, and we had, I mean, Brandon Hall was on that staff, who's the DC at Oklahoma. I mean, it's, we had some studs. Keith Patterson was on an original staff. He's the head coach at Abilene Christian. And I mean, we had some real guys. Scott Simons coaches the linebackers for the Dallas Cowboys. He was on that staff. So we had some guys that really came in there and contributed. That was a fun team to be a part of. And it was fun. It was, you know, winning begets winning. And you're right. Sometimes we all get to be super blessed to be part of those things at one time. And credit to Coach Malzahn for hiring a bunch of guys that didn't have any clue what we were doing, man. But we put it together and won a championship and won the school's first bowl game. And it's been fun to watch everybody's career develop. And it's fun to look back and when you say things or act things or believe things or write things down and how you're delivering something to the team and you feel a little bit of, oh, man, that sounds just like what Coach Fulmer used to say, or that's just like what Coach Malzahn used to say, or that's definitely drink. You know, those are the fun things that show up as you present yourself, you know, to the team and what you ultimately want to see. You know, as you're shaping it to your own personality, it's fun to see those other guys show up in it.
As you head into the summer, kind of looking forward to first full season, what are some of the biggest priorities for you and your program?
Well, it's a continued development of what it is that we're trying to establish here, right? Everything, doing the behaving as champions before you're champions means that we got to do all the things the champions do now. So whenever the winning comes, it's going to come, right? But we've got to make sure that we are establishing practice the way we need to practice. We're establishing off-field habits before we get to off-field habits. We got to make sure that we're doing what we said from an advancement standpoint to bring this up to speed to be a Division I program from facility and nutrition wise and doing those sort of things. We got to make sure that we recruit at the highest level we've ever recruited here. And we've already started to do that. And so I think it's, we got to continue to focus on those trends. We are doing some things differently here before than they've ever been done. Some of that was just because of the 1AA nature of what this program was up until a couple years ago. And so we're just continuing to build and establish processes and means to get those things done. We've got to continue to develop our off-field habits and our on-field habits, our practice habits, to reflect how we're going to win a championship eventually, you know. And I think that once we get to June and we get our entire team here for the first time, that true 105 that we're going to be playing with through the season, we've got to, maintain the advancements that we've done already from a football standpoint. We've got to maintain our schematic advances that we've made. We've got to bring everybody up to speed to make sure that when we enter fall camp, that we're prepared to make the necessary developments that we need to be competitive in November, ultimately. Right. And we know that we've got a great conference. We know that we've got a great conference slate of games that we get to play in front of a national television audience, which is awesome for our team and awesome for our conference. And we know that there's some really competitive teams. We had a bunch of bowl teams go in there and win games last year against, you know, conferences that would profess to be, bigger or stronger than us. And we feel like we can be competitive against those conferences. So we got to make sure that we are prepared to hold up our end of the bargain here at Missouri State. And there's never been a better time to be a Bear.
Man, you're, as a first-time head coach, you've already hit on, you highlighted special teams, you're hyping up the conference, you're really doing all the right things right now. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I don't, we go to College Station and we go to Dallas two out of my first four games, so we'll see how much they still like me after those two games. So it's, if Coach Elko and Coach Lashley, man, they just, hey man, but no, it's exciting times, man. Be fun for our team to get to play in those environments. We got two huge games here. We got an in-state opponent in Lindenwood, Marshall, who they was, I think, Missouri State's first Division I win ever last year, is coming back here. They'll certainly be ready for that game. And, you know, I've really challenged our student body. I've challenged our community. We play six home games. We need to beat our stadium attendance record twice. We need to do that twice this next year. If we're going to do the things we're talking about doing, we don't need to wait until we're a championship team to do that. We've got to do those things before we win the championship. And that's all of us, right? It takes all of us to win. It takes all of us to recruit. It takes all of us to do exactly all the goals that we've set forth for this program. And if we're ultimately going to have an impact on this university and on this community, we got to have those people step up and support our team and our athletes in a way that is worthy of being a Division I championship team. And if we can do that and pull all those things together, then I think that we'll be headed the way we need to come November.
Well, you've said it a couple of times already. It's a great time to be a Bear indeed. Really thrilled to have you on the podcast, but also just have you as a part of this league. Excited to see what Missouri State Bear football looks like this fall under first-year head coach Casey Woods. Casey, thank you so much again for taking the time today.
No, man, thanks for your interest in this program. We are excited. We're excited to be part of this conference. We're excited to be part of this this movement. We're excited to be, it's an exciting time to be here, man. And it's never been a better time. And thank you again for having me. Look forward to catching up with you again, man. Go Bears.
Thank you so much to Coach Woods for taking time out of his schedule to come on CUSA Insider for the first time, give us an insight into the program and the product of football that we should expect there out of the Bears in Springfield. And that's it for us. As always, you can catch us wherever you listen to your podcasts on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube and also give us a follow on social media on X and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod. Always appreciate hearing from our fans. But again, that'll do it from us here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, signing off.